We've been talking about paying the price. The price. And we've said that there's legitimate prices to pay. Well, that means there's prices that people pay that aren't legitimate. We've gone down that trail enough, you know, and that's not what you want. You want the legitimate thing, right? You want the glory of the Lord filling the earth as the waters cover the sea legitimately, not in weirdness or pseudo glory. We want the real thing. God showing up and staying. What are you going to do about that? God showing up and staying. I'm serious here. God is showing up and staying. His glory and not going away. We've had many moves of God. Many of them. Many moves of God. They've come and they've gone. Like a wave. This last one is not going away, Patrick. Until we go away with it. This is it. This is the trip. We're going away. So get ready. Hallelujah. The last enemy to be put under our feet is death. And we're going to preach, and I joke about this every once in a while, but we're working right now on getting all the enemies under our feet. But the last one, we're going to start preaching that. The death is going to be put under our feet. How can it come without the preacher? How can it come without preaching it? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God at some point. Remember Enoch? He had faith that he pleased God and was translated. It was through faith that he was translated. He's a type of the end time church. So through faith, we will be translated. Well, faith comes by what?
Hearing.
So at some point, we're going to have to accept this as the body of Christ, that it's not over until we leave and death is under our feet. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God at some point. And it's not we're going to be hiding in caves until the Lord comes. The cave will be put under your... How is that putting all enemies under your feet? Put caves under your feet too, right? And the bird flu and everything else, you know? Put it under your feet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, we've been talking about paying... Do you think there's a price to pay? Is there a price to pay to live this kind of life? We have the five virgins. Well, the 10 virgins. But obviously, the five virgins made it. The other five got stuck and had to go back for oil. They weren't ready. They didn't pay the price. It cost oil. Do you understand? Nobody was just giving oil away for free. They said, go and buy some for yourself. Price paid. You paying the price to get the oil to be ready? Yes, you are. Just legitimate prices to pay. Oh, please just give me some of your oil. No. Get your own. This was expensive. It cost me a lot. I had to pray in tongues 4 hours a day to get this oil. And you just want me to lay my hands on your head and you're going to get all my oil? No. You go pay the price like I had to. Right? That's what they said. That's what the virgin said. Talk like a virgin. Go get your own oil. You can show them where it is, but they better not be doing that last minute. They won't have time to get it. Well, the time is now. The time is now to get ready to pay the price. Talk like a virgin. The time is now, exactly. The time is now to get that thing tanked up. So you got enough. For yourself and kids, the same thing with you. No messing around. Sit up straight. Pay the price. I'm serious. You could, this, the glory is great. There's nothing else like it. You can walk into glory just like anybody else. Doesn't matter how old or young you are. God's the same to everybody. He's the same to all that call upon Him. He's rich unto all that call upon Him. He's rich unto them. Everybody else goes to school with their scooter. Well, you show up in your Learjet. Because he's rich unto you. You know him.
Yes.
You got a helipad on that high school? Well, I'm not going there then. You know, I'm not kidding. It's wide open unto you. The windows of heaven are open unto you. Everything, all the promises of God are yes and amen. Except maybe. Did he say that? All the promises of God are, well, maybe, and sometimes. or wait. You know, the Lord, he says yes, sometimes he says no, sometimes he says wait. Show me that in here, please. It's yes and amen. Yes, and so be it. So who's putting the limits on? We do, by not receiving it. Let's just get in line with what he said and say it ourselves. It's ours. Hallelujah. All the enemies are under my feet. Say that. All the enemies are under my feet. And the last one is death. Hallelujah. You ready for that? There's the price to pay, though. That's what we're dealing with. The first message we talked about, counting the cost. It's expensive. What's the cost? Does a king go against to war without counting the cost? Does a man build a tower without counting the cost? No. You do that, you're going to build a barn or something out back. You're going to figure out if you're going to be able to build the thing. Get one wall up, it doesn't stay up because you didn't have enough to build the other wall. That's just stupid. Then the neighbors sit there and mock you. It's exactly what he said. You're going to count the cost. Do you have what it takes? Absolutely. We're going to pay the price. And the number two thing that I said was hunger. Are you hungry for it? And I understand that when you hear something like this for the first time, all of a sudden you get a hunger down in there. It's like me holding a steak up in front of you. We should have a cooking show here in the morning. How about that? We got the grill going and the sauces splattering around. Ooh. And then I'll say, I'm just preparing one dish. One of you is going to get it. And then the rest of you be like, I hope I'm the one. I'm the one with the lucky ticket. The fragrances are coming out. Isn't this great? It's about 12 o'clock, so now I'm just saying stuff like this. Oh, and it looks so good and appetizing. What does that make you? Hungry. I tell you, hunger is your friend. Hunger is your friend. It'll lead you to the real thing. It'll lead you to righteousness. If you hunger and thirst after what? No, the gifts. If I hunger and thirst after the glory and the gold dust. If I hunger and thirst after the revival spirit. No, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, right standing with God, you will be filled and all of those things will follow you like a wake. Right? Hallelujah. This is where we're going. I'm hungry. What are you hungry for? Righteousness. Right standing with God. Hallelujah. And if I'm hungry, what do I get? Full. He fills you up. And then he makes you hungrier. What is up with that? But hunger is your friend. I'm telling you, everybody say hunger,
hunger
is my friend. It's your friend. I gotta have it. I gotta have it. I gotta have it. Remember the four lepers? They were outside. They were starving to death. It drove them into the enemy's camp where at least they had food. They said, well, if we stay here, we die. If we go there and they kill us, well, we but die. Big deal. Dead either way. Well, let's go and see if they got some goodies to eat. At least we'll die full. Maybe while they're killing us, we're eating something. It was the hunger that drove them there. And then God delivered them. How? By leading them through their hunger. He will lead you through your hunger. Keep hungry. Stay hungry. Develop that hunger. Hallelujah. Well, today I'm going to put you on the fast track. The fast track. Oh, you mean we'll get there quick? Yeah. This is a way to get there quick. Fast. It's fast. This is the fast way to get there. I'm telling you. You think I'm kidding? I'm not kidding. This is the fast way. You want to make leaps and bounds spiritually? Start doing what the Bible says. This is one of the things the Bible says. And you can make leaps and bounds. Notice this comes right after hunger. Hallelujah. Well, open with me to Habakkuk chapter 2 first. What are you going to be hungry for? Righteousness and the glory of the Lord filling the earth as the waters cover the sea. I'll put that up there. Well, it's up there. Let's just confess this together. You ready? For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The earth shall be filled. Say that. Confess it. Believe for it. This is what God's waiting for. He's waiting for somebody to believe him. He's always waiting for somebody to believe him. He gives a promise, and then when somebody picks it up and believes it, then they've got something. That's how he gets everything into the earth. Well, what if nobody's believing for this? And he's got to wait for another generation to come along. Let all the gray-haired and gray-bearded people go, and then the next generation comes in. But somebody's got to take his word and believe it. This is what we're believing for. We have the witness in ourselves that this is the time. That's what everybody was saying this morning. It's time. Well, it's time. It's time for his glory to come and stay and fill the earth. Particularly our part of the earth, because that's where we are. And we're believing for it. And we're pulling for it. And we're hungry for it. And we're going to be filled. If you hunger, you'll be filled. Will the glory come if you don't hunger? No. We hunger for him, and he will fill us. Hallelujah. And we have to have it. Desperation. Hallelujah. We must have it. And we're going to have it. All right. Luke chapter 2, 37. One of my favorite scriptures on this particular topic. Glory be to God forever. Luke chapter 2 and verse 37. You ready? When you found it, we're going to pray. Glory be to God forever. Hallelujah. You there? Father, in Jesus' name, Fredo Badizigeglo Onkin Krimperde. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your glory. I thank you what you're doing to these people right now. I thank you for changing them. I thank you for changing me. We reach into your spirit. We reach into your word. We grab onto you and your spirit and truth. And we are the people that shall see you manifest in the earth like no other generation. I thank you for it, Father. Kestoban el bende el frong dahab of Greech. Let us commit and find the strength and ability to do your will, your way today. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Luke chapter 2 and verse 37. And she was a widow of about 84 years. How long's that? 84 years. She was a widow of 84 years. So she was older than that, right? I mean, she didn't get married when she was born. So it had to be older than that, so she's at least 90-something. What was she doing all these 90-something years, or at least the 84 years, what was she doing? Just hanging out. She sold a lot. She what? She served God. Yeah, absolutely. Hallelujah. She was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. How did she serve God? Fasting and prayer. Fasting and prayer. Can you serve God in fasting? Can you serve God in praying? Well, we all know that, at least the prayer part, right? I'm serving God with my prayers. I come and I pray for you, and you pray for me, and we're serving God, right? We're making things happen in the earth. But so many times God puts that other word in there that people like to ignore. But if we ignore it, we're not going to get what we should have. Fasting and prayers. Right? Fastings, plural. Paul said, fastings often. He served God with fastings often. What does that mean? Once? He fasted once? So do you think this is legitimately in the price that we need to pay if we're going to have the glory of the Lord? Fastings often and prayers. Beginning of the year, we went on a 40-day fast as a church. You know, not all of us went 40 days. I don't know if any of us went 40 days. But the point was that period of time, we sanctified it as a fast. And so at some point during that time, somebody in this body was fasting and praying. For what? And I believe we're seeing the fruit of it now. And I'm calling you even greater, because this is part of the price that is needs to be paid to have this type of glory. Jesus said, this kind comes not out but by prayer and fasting. So must be there certain things that it takes the prayer with a fast behind it to bring it into the earth. Well, we're talking about the culmination of all things. Do you think that's going to require a little fasting with the prayers? Maybe we'll just play a bunch of songs and whoop, whoop, whoop all the time. Won't get it done. I'm telling you. It won't get her done. And we're going to get her done. Right? What's one of the things we're going to have to do? Fast. Fasting's often. Right? Fasting's often. What does often mean? Off? A ton. No. Let's break apart the word to try to describe it away so we don't have to actually do this. This means a lot. Right? A lot in our life. That means, well, a lot. It needs to be some. Do you pray a lot? Yeah, you do. You get up, you probably pray many times a day. What if he said just prayers often? That'd be fine, because that would mean, well, at least we could eat. And I'm not telling you you have to go on a 40-day fast. Maybe you do. I don't know. But that's going to have to be, you're going to be led by the Lord as to what part of this you're going to play. But as a body, we're going to be known for our fastings often. And by the glory thereof that is represented in and among us. Because we're going to pay the price. And we can pay the price for other people. I hope you know that. We can pay the price for other people. The glory you walk in can come on them. But then they're going to have to learn that, hey, now it's time to shape up and walk the walk. Don't just talk the talk, walk the walk. And some people don't tell them that. They just, oh, just come in and float around for a while. Yeah, that's good. But we need to tell them there's a price to pay to live the life. Otherwise, they'll end up being one of those virgins that can't talk like a virgin. They don't know how to talk. They don't know how to live. They don't know how to walk. Well, get them in. We're going to get them in, and we're going to train them up. And we're going to have something. Hallelujah. They're going to be like you. What do your kids grow up to be like? They grow up, they're like you because you're training them that way. That's why we just can't have seeker friendly and just keep it on that level, because then all you've got is that baby Christianity and they're not ready for anything. Except for the noontime meal. And to get out of there, because we, to seeker friendly means you got to have a church service that's only an hour, so it makes everybody happy. Well, we don't make anybody happy here. Matter of fact, we're telling them they got to fast. And you guys are just weird enough to go, yeah, this is great. I love it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, but what are we hungry for? Jesus said, and I'll take you there later. Jesus said, I have something to eat you don't know about. That's called pleasing God. What is greater than that sandwich? Pleasing God. Please throw the sandwich out the window if it meant pleasing God, right? But we want him. We're hungry for something else. And that's the key to this message, which is why I talked about hunger last week. Because this means if you're hungry for something more than what's sitting in front of you, you'll have the willpower to resist it and the spiritual fortitude to say, please, that doesn't even tempt me because I want this. I want God more than anything, and I want his glory filling my life, yeah. His glory filling my earth as the waters cover the sea. And that sandwich eventually looks stupid. It's like, who could eat that when you're eating what I have? Hallelujah, right? All right, glory be to God forever. So she served God. We saw that. She served God with fastings and prayers. Where was she at spiritually when everybody else was missing it? Here's the Lord Jesus Christ in baby form. That sounds funny. The Lord Jesus as a baby coming into the temple, and only two people knew about it. Two people. One was a prophet, and she was, did it say she was a prophet? Yep. So the other guy wasn't a prophet. One of them wasn't a prophet. Anyways, look up verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher, and she was of great age. It was a great age she was at, by the way. It was great. And had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. She was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple. Is that commitment? She departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. That's pretty committed. What did she want? Did she get what she wanted? She's in the Bible. She is in the Bible. We all know her. We know what she did. She was there and she prophesied over the Lord when he came in. She was there. Are you going to be there? Takes commitment. Night and day? Fastings and praying? Never leaving the temple? Well, you are the temple. How often do you leave your position as the temple, though, to just go do something else? Right? Well, we can ignore that whole temple of the Lord part for at least for 45 minutes while I stuff my face. No. No, but you're being designed and coming into your own. You're coming into your own. You're now the temple of the Lord. And you're the temple of the Lord 24 hours a day. Amen. What's going to make you know this? Amen. Fastings and prayers. Never leaving that position that you're in 24 hours a day. Brother, that sounds like work. I know. It's paying the price. What else greater do you have to do? Seriously. What else did she have to do? Well, she could have been known worldwide for her beer can hats. Who cares? I don't care what you did in the earth. It is not as important as what she did. Where's that come from? I don't know. You've seen those hats. They make them out of beer can. Yeah, whatever. All right? Like, oh, she was the inventor of, you know, that hat you wear on your head where you can drink the water out of it. Or she could have been like Al Gore, the inventor of the internet. Yeah. Who cares? Compared to walking in the glory of God, being in the Bible, being at the right place at the right time, it means there's a price to be paid. Are you going to pay the price? I'm telling you right here, part of it is fasting. Did it not say that about her? Fast, she served God with fastings and prayers. And I'm telling you, this is the fast way. You want your prayers much more effective? Then add some fasting behind it. I've done it, and I've seen it, and I'm looking forward to more of it. Why? Because the fruit is so much better. What you eat is so much better. In the natural, too, after a fast. You fast for 3 weeks, that next meal you have is really good. But in the spirit, it's the same way. Something happens. Something happens molecularly in your whole being where the spirit man, which is the real you, starts to live because it's not being oppressed as much by this natural realm. That's why you have more visions. That's why you have more dreams. That's why things become clearer. You're sharpening up your spiritual senses and you're putting down that natural man, which is constantly, yeah, yeah, yeah. Talking to you. Put it under. Mortify the deeds of the body by the spirit that's in you. Mortify it. What does mortify mean? It means to deaden it. Yeah. It means to put to death something that's alive. Mortify it. We will call you Mortimer. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forever. Luke chapter 4. And verse 1, Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Are you filled with the Holy Ghost?
Yes.
Does he lead the children of God? Yes. Does the Spirit of God lead the children of God? Yes, he does. What was the first thing that the Holy Ghost led Jesus, your Lord, to do? First thing came on him. He ran out of there into the wilderness and fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Why didn't it just say, hey, Jesus got filled with the Holy Ghost and then returned in the power of the Spirit and the fame of him spread abroad? Because there was a price even for him to pay. He's your example in all things. He's your Lord. You think you're going to get what he got aside from doing it the way he did it? How? He was better in everything anyway, right at the beginning. So we think we're going to obtain his glory. We're called to obtain the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? We're called to obtaining that glory. Are we going to get it some other way? Some cheap way? Some manufactured way? Just go come up here at the end of the service. I'll lay my hands on you and you will have the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, you're going to pay the legitimate price to have it. Everything costs a price and there's no specials and no sales. Too bad. See, now that's not seeker friendly, is it? There's no special. Means you pay the price. You take up your cross and follow him. It's no special. Oh, I'll take up your cross. I'll help you with that. No. Pick it up. Pick it up. Go, go, go. Hip, hip. Right? Like a drill sergeant here telling you. You want the glory of the Lord? Anna had the glory of the Lord. She was there at the right place at the right time. Hunger led her there. Hunger for what? Food? No. She was hungry for something else, to where the hunger for food was second place. The hunger for the food, for the carnal thing, was like, it looks bad after a while. I remember as a kid, I'd probably been praying. I had received the Holy Ghost. I had not gone to Rhema yet, so I must have been young. But I spent a lot of time in my prayer tent. You know how kids make tents? They put like a table and, you know, and a blanket. And so, well, I had one of those. Because I was a kid. I should make another one. I like those. Get in there. Nobody bothers you. They can't see you. They don't even know where you are. You've disappeared from the face of the earth because you're in your tent and it's dark. You're in the day. And I had some. You ever see those rifle headphones? Where you shoot rifles and guns and stuff, and what it does is deadens the sound. Well, I had a pair of those. So you stick those on your head, and you're in the dark in your tent. Forget about it. You've completely disappeared from the face of the earth. Nobody knows. I go in there and pray in tongues for hours. Everybody say hours. I remember coming down, and my mother had, I like meatloaf. Do I like meatloaf? Yeah, I like meatloaf. Meatloaf's good. I could eat a whole meatloaf, a whole loaf of meat, right now, right here, right now. No. Yeah, bring it on. I came down after one of those prayer spells. I came down, you know, I was probably giddy and drunk from the Holy Ghost, I don't know, and I sat down at the table and I looked at that thing. It looked like the most ridiculous thing I had ever seen in my life. I think I ate some of it, but my perception of it was just completely, it was ridiculous. Here's a loaf of meat in the middle of the table, and to, from my perspective now, I just remember I've been in the Spirit, in the glory for a while, and I came down, and I'm looking at this thing going, why would people eat that? What are you doing? And it looked so ridiculous. People were picking this stuff and putting it in their mouth like robots to me. I'm thinking, that's just weird. I don't even think I want to participate in this strange behavior. You understand? But it's because I was coming from it from a spiritual standpoint. I'm sure that once I got back down into, you know, when the buzz wore off, when I got back into the natural again, I'd probably like, bring on some more of that meatloaf, because that's looking pretty good to me now. Right? Where'd that come from? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and being tempted of the devil in those days, he did eat nothing. He did eat nothing. It's always good to eat a little something when you're on a fast. No. That's what fasting is. And that's, you know, maybe I'll step on somebody's toes here when they talk about the Daniel fast. The Daniel fast means to just fast meats. No. Fast means to abstain from food. You don't just eat lettuce and salads and call it a fast. Just don't eat it. Food? No. Water? Yes. Didn't say he was afterward a thirsty. It said he was afterward a hungry. 40 days and 40 nights. But the point here is, did the Spirit of the Lord, when he first came on Jesus, lead him to fast? I think we know that. The Holy Ghost led him to fast. Why? Because fasting and prayer is what gets the power. And he had to be hungry for that and being in right standing with God to resist all those temptations that the devil threw at him, which tried to give him the power in a false way. He could have bowed to any one of those things the devil offered him, and he would have had the same sort of similar power that he was going to get the right way through fasting and prayer, the wrong way by some demonic manifestation. We don't want that. We want the legitimate. We want the glory that comes from God. And unfortunately for you, or fortunately, whichever way you look at it, fasting and prayer is one of the ways to do it. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forever. We're going to have a potluck right after this meeting. No. I'm kidding. Look down at verse 14, same chapter, Luke 4:14. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. Jesus returned from this fast and prayer in the power of the Spirit. So, let me ask you, with our lightning fast minds here, what was part of what the price Jesus paid in those 40 days and 40 nights? Do you think that anything had anything to do with him returning in the power of the Spirit? I think it had everything to do with him returning in the power of the Spirit. And like I said, do we think we can get it some other way? No. This is the way. This is the Bible way. Stick with scripture and verse and you'll never go wrong. Right? Glory be to God forever. Oh, you guys are good. Hallelujah. Matthew 17. Glory be to God forever. Matthew chapter 17. So, brother, what does this mean? This means that... There are going to be times, if you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, where he's going to lead you to abstain from eating. Now, it doesn't make sense to your natural mind, does it? And it certainly doesn't make sense to your body. Because your body's saying, rah, feed me. Yes, it does. And you're like, no. My belly is not my God. Amen. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is my God. You're a spirit. That's who you are. You are a spirit being, and you serve God in the spirit. That's what Anna was doing through fastings and prayers. And you're going to put to death the flesh or mortify it. Deaden it is a better translation, to deaden the flesh. Now, if they're going to come and operate on your flesh, they're going to inject it with something that deadens it to you, so you don't experience the pain of them sawing and crunching. Sorry, that was for the kids. They're going to deaden it so that you don't feel it, and you want that, right? Yeah. Amen. Now, the Holy Ghost is going to have the same effect on your physical body. You will mortify the deeds of your body by deadening it by the Spirit of God. The farther you get into a fast, the more deadened you are to the things of the world. And meatloaf looks weird. Things of the world look weird. You turn on the TV, the show that you used to watch, and you see them for what they really are, and you go, who would watch that? What a waste of time. You get different eyes. You start to see with the eyes of your spirit, and you start to see that the gold of the glory of God is worth more than any of this other stuff you've been wasting your time on. Right? Glory be to God forever. Jesus is Lord. Matthew 17, verse 18. Hallelujah. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Everybody say, nothing,
nothing.
shall be impossible unto me. Unfortunately, he qualified it. Nothing shall be impossible unto you, howbeit this kind goes not out but by prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. Power twins. Glory be to God forever. As hungry as you are for whatever it is that you're believing God for, especially righteousness and right standing with Him. And all the benefits that come through righteousness with God, right standing with God. These are the power twins to get you there fast. Hallelujah. Thank God for the English language where they put those two things together. It will get you there fast. Jesus could have took years. Could have taken him years to come into this Son of God thing. Took him 40 days and 40 nights because he went right to it and dealt with it quick. It's the fast way. What did he deal with? His flesh? He dealt with his desires that may have been twisted by the devil or anything else. He dealt with it. Whacked it off. That's that. Then he returned in the power of the Spirit. How about the power of the Spirit on your life? Consistently, all the time, just like Jesus. Well, that was Jesus. No, you're called to the same works and greater. You. That's you. Yeah, but what did the disciples say? Why could we not cast him out? Jesus didn't have a problem. He came down and said, come out. Demon left, just like that. And they said, well, what haven't we been doing that you've been doing? Prayer and fasting. I'm sure they just had a sandwich. They were probably standing around snacking on Cheetos or something while they were watching. You cast him out. Wait, I'll be right there. And I'll come and cast him out. There's something about fasting. It puts you in that realm of authority. Right? Glory be to God. Jesus is Lord. There's something about those two things. Fasting and power go together. I was thinking about this. What about the book of Acts when the 120 were all together in one accord? You think they were all together in one accord because they were all eating the same thing? Because they all happened to like what Sister Susie was bringing to the meal? I guarantee you there was some fasting going on. The Lord said, wait. And they were in one accord. You try to get 120 people in one accord. They're going to have to be in the Spirit. You get a body of people, and this is God all throughout the Bible. When there was a time coming up where they had to do something, they would declare and decree a fast. And they would all fast, and they would get into one accord about one thing. And then the power of God would show up and deliver them. Hallelujah. Are we believing for anything here? We're believing for the glory of the Lord to fill the earth. This is part of the price that we're going to pay. Now, I'm not going to decree or declare a fast, although I thought about it. Especially with Carlene nagging me on. She comes up to me the other day. She goes, we should go on another 40-day fast. I'm like, don't tempt me, sister. Hallelujah. But can I eat meatloaf first? Hallelujah. But this is something, and you got to understand this. Fasting's often. This is something that needs to become a part of your regular spirituality, and it doesn't exist that way in most Christians. This needs to be something we do here often. It's just part of the way we do. We pray, right? We come and pray several times on a Sunday morning or any other time we get together. We have prayers. We have prayer meetings. We should have fasting meetings where we'll come and we'll eat nothing together. Bring a potluck of nothing, an empty bowl. We'll sit it on the table. A dish to pass. A dish not to pass. I don't know how you'd work that out, but the point is, we do the prayer thing. Now we need to do the fasting thing, especially if there's something that's been bugging you personally in your life. Fast. Yeah, I know you've prayed about it. Fast. Ask the Lord. Daniel prayed, and 21 days later, an angel showed up in his room. Took 21 days, though. What if he gave up on the 21st day? He said, I don't know. Sunday's pot roast day. Hallelujah. So they were in one accord in the book of Acts. Daniel was more hungry for God showing up and giving him the answer he needed than he was for eating something else. And that's what it takes. What are you going to put first? That proves your hunger. Proves your hunger for the Spirit of God if you're going to say, no, I'm going to resist this natural temptation and I'm pressing in some more. I'm going to press in some more. Press in some more. Hallelujah. It doesn't take much of that and you got everything stirred up. You got the angels coming and waiting on you. You got God listening. You got the devil totally freaked out because he can't tempt you with anything anymore. Because you've deadened that carnal nature. You've deadened it. He can't even saw on you anymore. It doesn't bother you. What's that sound? I hear a sawing sensation sound. Doesn't bother you. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Howbeit this kind comes not out but by prayer and fasting. Go back to chapter 6. So what are you saying, brother? You mean I'm going to have to fast? Yes, you're going to have to incorporate fasting into your regular spirituality. You may be reading your Bible, right? You better be reading your Bible. We'll have holy slappers come over to your house and slap you for not reading your Bible. Read your Bible. I'm on the slapping committee. I hear that you haven't been reading as much. Slap. There you go. I know you're praying. I know you're reading your Bible. I know you're here. You sing. You worship God. Are you fasting? I don't mean just today. I mean regularly, on a regular basis, and fasting's often. Often. I can't answer that for you. But you can answer it. Am I? I guess I did in the 60s. Missed that one meal because I had to get home. No, I mean, is this part of your regular life? Is this part of your regular, and as a couple, as a married people, as kids? Don't tell my children to fast. I am. Why not? Skip a meal. What? Yeah, you. Skip a meal. Plan on it. Put it right up there and say, okay, a Thursday lunch, I'm missing it. Why? Because I'm going to go and pray in my room in tongues. Do kids do that? Absolutely. Every kid here prays in tongues. Right? Hallelujah. Are you serious, bro? Yes, I'm serious. What are you laughing for? I don't know. I get silly every once in a while. Pray in the Spirit. Go eat some spiritual food and read your Bible and confess the word over something and believe God. Believe God for more than what you have. Press in. Make it a part of your daily life. Daily? Maybe. You pray every day. This is part of the word. People don't like to hold it up because they think they're going to offend people. Well, you better be over that by now. We'll find something else to offend you with then if this doesn't work. Because you got to be more hungry. Hungry, hungry, hungry. Like a hungry, hungry hippo. You remember that game? What was the whole object? To get all the marbles you could so that nobody else could have them. That's you. You're so hungry for the glory of God. You must have it. Whether anybody else gets it or not, it becomes a personal responsibility. What do you want? We just going to talk about this? Let's just talk about the glory. Wouldn't that be sweet? No, I mean people falling over themselves in the hallway. Because they can't get in. Because there's other people that got knocked out by the glory of God and they couldn't get in. So we're going to have draggers. Designated draggers to stack people up in the corner. The slappers and draggers. We're going to get a whole... And I'm not kidding. This is the glory of the Lord. They could not enter in because of the glory of the Lord. This is the last time. This glory is going to be greater than the former. Are we going to walk in it? Yes, we are. Part of the price is fasting. I'm sorry. It's just part of the price. Incorporate it into your life, your prayer life. And we'll see that right here. Hallelujah. What did I start with there, Liv? 6:16. Hallelujah. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites. Why did he put when in there? He said, if, moreover, if someday you decide to choose to fast, maybe. No, he said, moreover, when. Moreover, when you fast. When you fast. That means you're going to do it. He's assuming you're a disciple. You're listening to him anyway. You are going to do this. You should be thinking that right now. I am going to do this because this is what the Word says. I'm just going to do the Word. Hallelujah. Is there any benefit in doing the Word? Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance. For they disfigure their faces. Oh, I'm so hungry. That they may appear unto men to fast. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. Now, let me just throw this on the other side here. Lots of times in our day, it's just the opposite of this. When you start telling people you're fasting, they think the opposite. They don't think, oh, you're pious and holy. So don't even let them know. You know, come up with some excuse. No, I can't. I'm doing something else. I got something else to eat. That's what Jesus said. I got something else to eat. Was he lying?
No.
Was he? No, I got something else. I got food you don't know about. Say it with a straight face. I've got food you don't know about. Really? They'll be like, well, what is it? Is that beef jerky? What do you got? It's spiritual meat. Hallelujah. It is to do the will of him that sent me. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. When you fast, don't be as the hypocrites and have a sad countenance. For if you do, then verily you have your reward. But when thou fastest, anoint your head and wash your face, that you appear not to men to fast, but unto thy Father who is in secret, and thy Father which sees in secret shall reward you openly. Who's going to see you fast? Now, if fasting wasn't anything, would he say this? He says if you fast the right way, God is going to reward you. Why? Because it's spiritual work. You're serving God. She served God with prayers and fastings. You're fasting. You can fast and pray at the same time, or you could be fasting and then pray at other times, but that fast continues on. I like what Franklin Hall used to say, the fast actually becomes part of the prayer eventually, because it keeps you, it holds you right there. We know that with confession, don't we? We pray a prayer, and then our confession holds us right there on that prayer. And that prayer continues as long as we don't take our confession off of it. Same thing, when you declare a fast and you pray at the beginning, believing you receive something, and then you fast. What is it doing? It's holding that prayer right there. Just like Daniel. He prayed that he'd have wisdom, and then he fasted. And then the angel showed up 21 days later. I don't think he was praying 21 days, God, 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 God. No. The fast carried his prayer and kept it solid. Solid. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forever. Jesus is Lord. Moreover, when you fast, God, the Father, your Father, is going to see that fast in secret and reward you where? Openly. What do you think that means? Blessings, but it will be open. It'll be an open show. I can't think of a better way than to talk about the Holy Ghost than him manifesting himself, openly showing people, openly showing the people in your apartment complex, openly showing himself, openly rewarding you for your service of fasting. Who's he rewarding? You, for whatever you were believing for, he is openly rewarding you. Glory be to God. Jesus is Lord. Matthew chapter 6. Did I already take you there? I think I did. Okay. We read the other one. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 4:17. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 4:17. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. You getting anything out of this? 2 Corinthians 4:17. What's the price we get to pay? This is just part of it. You're going to pray more? You're going to fast more? Hallelujah. I'm telling you, it is the fast way. When you can learn how to do this the right way, it'll bring things to pass in your life that have just seemed to be out of your range. Seemed to be out of your range. Understanding. You just couldn't understand something. That's what Daniel did. I don't understand this vision. Send me understanding. And he fasted. They didn't understand why they couldn't cast the demon out of this boy. It worked with others. But then Jesus said, you got to fast. So when you come up to these things, and that's where we are right now. We're here, we're praying, we're believing, we're pulling. Part of the price is to fast and believe God in that fast. Glory be to God forever. 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of what?
Glory.
Of glory. Our light affliction, is but for a moment. And it works for us. It works for us. That prayer is working for you. That fast is working for you. What is it doing? It's working for you a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Do you see that? We're believing God for the weight of His glory. The weight of glory. Right? So the light affliction, she's saying the affliction part is light as compared to the weight of the glory you're going to receive. And it's just for a moment. So you may say, I'm going to fast for 3 days. Tell you, 3 days goes by whether you fast or not. It just happens. What happened to last week for all you people? Well, I got it in my back pocket. No, it's gone. Kiss it goodbye. Did last week work for you an eternal weight of glory? Fasting will. That fasting doesn't just go away. Something happens in the spirit where it stays there and it's eternal and it's working a work that can't be worked in any other way. It's a light affliction, right? It's not a huge affliction. You know that. Oh, I don't know if I'll live if I don't eat dinner. I don't think I'll live or survive. I guarantee you, you will. You may not feel like it. But that eternal weight of glory, I'm telling you, you've got to be hungry for. And if you are hungry for the eternal weight of glory being on your account, on your account. This is what he's talking about here. Our light affliction is for a moment, but it works for us. Eternal weight of glory. We find a people that are committed and hungry for the glory of God and righteousness with Him. And they're willing to fast and pray. They will have an eternal weight of glory. Eternal, meaning it doesn't leave. It stays. Glory be to God forever. Jesus is Lord. Isaiah 58:6-9. And Jane says, amen.
Amen.
Isaiah 58. Now, does fasting work glory? Was the fasting part of what helped that young man get delivered from the demon? Was the glory of the Lord being manifest in his life? He just said if we take some of this light affliction upon ourselves, it will work for us an eternal weight of glory. Do you want the glory? Then we must pay the legitimate price to have it. One of those legitimate prices is fasting. Aren't you glad you came to church today? Hallelujah. Verse 8 of, now let's go to verse 6. Isaiah 58, verse 6. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? Who's speaking here? This is God saying, this is the fast that I have chosen. To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burden. Now, let me ask you, when Jesus came down and said, they said, why couldn't we cast him out? He said, because you hadn't fasted and prayed. Was that man's burdens loosed? Was he delivered from that? He was. Fasting worked something that without the fast, it couldn't work. to loose the bands of wickedness. This is the fast that God has chosen, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke. What breaks every yoke? The anointing breaks the yoke. This is the fast that God has chosen. He chose the fast to do this. I didn't make it up. I would do the opposite. If you eat three cookies, the anointing will increase and break the yoke. And especially ice cream with them. If you eat 3 half gallons of ice cream, which is a serving size, by the way, then the oppressed will go free. Or the yokes will be broken because of the anointing. No. God chose this. Do you see that? This is the fast. He chose it this way. I didn't choose it this way. You didn't choose it this way. God chose this. Why? I don't know. He's God. Okay? He can do whatever he wants. But he chose it to be this way. Don't you find it curious that people got kicked out of the garden for eating something? And then he says you get to enter back in through fasting. Isn't that amazing? Jesus is Lord. Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke, every yoke? Will fasting break every yoke? Oh, come on. You can't be serious. Every yoke, the word says, yes, this is God's method. This is God's fat chosen method to break every yoke. Some yokes you can break, like an egg yolk. But if there's a yoke of oppression, there may be some fasting that's involved there. Okay? And that's all right. We pay these prices. We can do that. It's no fun. Did I say it was fun? It's not fun. If you think it's fun, then we will have your head examined. Because it's not always, it does get to be fun after a while. You get into the 4th and 5th day of a fast and you think, well, why am I not hungry? I've thought that before. I'm like, I should be hungry now, but I'm not. Am I freaking out? Is something wrong with me? Could you examine my head? But then hunger returns, I guess, after, you know, several days or whatever. Hallelujah. That's what happened to Jesus when hunger returned. If you want to know, that's what they say about a prophet's length fast, or the Jesus length fast, or the biblical length fast is 40 days and 40 nights. And after 40 days and 40 nights, people have proven this out, that hunger returns. And when hunger returns, that's when starvation sets in. So this is what Jesus was dealing with. Obviously, his body had depleted all whatever it had, right? Depleted everything that it was living off of for 40 days and 40 nights. And when that true hunger returned, that's when you need to eat something. But believe me, we could all go, you know, a few days without eating something, without starving to death. Even kids. Right? I mean, I could go at least 30 days, I'm sure. My wife would say that, you know, look at your stomach. You could go about 40 days there. It's a 40-day stomach. No. Hallelujah. But there's no danger. Well, I guess what I'm saying is there's no danger in you saying, I'm going to fast for 10 days. Believe me, anybody can fast for 10. That's why, you know, say, oh, they died in the wilderness, you know, because they didn't have any food to eat for 7 days. And I'm like, shut up. Shut up. Because if they had water, anybody, especially in America, can go 10 days without food. Maybe it was the bear chewing on the end of their leg that killed them. Now they died of hunger. No, go stop it. And see, this is just part of that oppression, that religious thing that comes into the church and in society that says fasting is weird. It's not weird. This is straight up gospel here. This is what we're supposed to do as Christians. We pray, we fast, and serve God with fastings and prayers. Take that out of your Bible. It's in there. This is a part and a way, and it is the way to break yokes. This is what God chose to do it with. You got a yoke that needs broken? This is the method. This is God's chosen fast. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? Verse 7. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, that thou bringest in the poor that are cast out of your house, to thy house? When thou seest the naked, thou coverest him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Verse 8. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily. And what?
Thy
righteousness shall go before thee. Your righteousness will go before you. The fasting way to righteousness with God. You hunger and thirst for righteousness, you shall be filled. And then to literally hunger and thirst. Literally the hunger. By putting yourself on a fast. Righteousness. Your health. If you've got some bondage in your body that you just haven't been able to get off, you've had people pray for you, you've laid hands on, you've been confessing, you're doing all these things. This is God's method. To fast will break the yoke of bondage. Your health will spring forth speedily. Your light will break forth as the morning. Isn't that good? You can't see well at night, but in the morning when the light comes up, aha! We should go, ah, we've discovered something. It's a new day. What do they say? Viola or voila. There you go. No, that's a violin. I know. Hallelujah. Then shall your light break forth as the morning, and your health shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your reward. Well, what if we want the reward of the men? What did Jesus say? The Father would openly bless you. He would reward you openly. Here, back in the Old Testament, he said, this is the fast, the way that he's chosen, and the glory will be your reward. Through the fast, he ties these things together, fasting and glory. Jesus came and returned in the glory or the power of the Spirit after his 40-day fast. This needs to be part of what we do on a regular basis. It's just the way it is for you. When you signed up for Christianity, they should have just told you that. But they don't. Well, we do. You're going to have to pray. You're going to have to read your Bible. You're going to have to fast. You're going to press in. You're going to have to commit. You're going to have to repent and believe. You're going to have to do all this stuff. This isn't game, church. This is serious business. We're in the end times, and we're going to bring this to pass. Every single one of us. No one left behind. Hallelujah. And we're going to have the glory as our reward, and it's going to fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. So what you need to ask yourself is, how much am I committed to this? How much am I going to do? What am I going to change in my life to bring this to pass? You may get skinny. Who cares? May get really skinny. I read after one guy. He's fasted like 18 times, 40 days and 40 nights. Well, he's a dude, okay? Go for it, brother. You know, but that is not an unattainable goal. You will not die if you don't eat a meal. You will not die. But what will you get? The Lord will reward you openly through health, full life breaking forth, light breaking forth, and the glory of the Lord will be your reward. What do you want? What are we hungry for? That's what we're hungry for. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, the best way to get it is to be more hungry for that than you are for your food. And keep that in front of your head when you're sitting there going, well, I could just eat a bite. Because that doesn't make it any better. Like you said, does not make it any better. Hallelujah. Well, I got a lot more there, but I think we got over what needs to be over. Part of paying the price is to fast and pray. That's part of the price. You got a hunger, you got a thirst, you got to want this more than you want anything else. What do you want? You tired of wasting life? You tired of just letting years go by? We've all been there. I'm there. I'm tired of it. I'm done with it. I'm done with it. It's all dung. in comparison. Now I won't go down there. It's all dung in comparison with the glory of the Lord and what the great things he has for you. But it's going to take a price to bring that into the earth. Part of the price to bring it in is to abstain from a few meals and do it before the Lord, and he will reward you. We have scripture for that openly. Right? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your word. Thank you for your glory. Thank you for the opportunity to apply your word to our lives. We're growing up into strong believers, children that you can say, well done, good and faithful servants to. And we're hungry and desirous of your true spiritual will being done on this earth as it is in heaven. And we commit ourselves right now to paying the prices that are required to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.
When shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord? Then shall we grow as we sow and reap from him.
This message has been brought to you free of charge by the Metropolitan Holy Ghost Society. More messages are available online at www.holyghostsociety.org.